Vortex Temporum. Composers and the inner thoughts about this and that. A podcast by Lee Mina and Art Nutin.
I'm going to talk about two English poets that I've worked with. Not so much about our actual collaborations, although I can't help giving an impression of how their work has affected mine. And I'm going to read some of their poetry, although not the texts that I've worked with. I met Harry Gelonis in London in February 1984. I remember the date because we were introduced by a mutual friend after a concert in which one of my compositions had been played, something that didn't happen very often back in those days. And somehow, within a couple of minutes, we found ourselves talking about the music of Sun Ra. At that time, he was or seemed to be more concerned with improvised music than with writing poetry, and in his performances made use of a wide variety of sound-producing objects, which usually contained a radio and a miniature drum kit. We were both participants in the first complete performance of Cornelius Cardew's The Great Learning in the summer of 1984 in London, and often played improvised music together in the following years, during which he was also crucial in getting me interested in a wider range of modern literature in the English language, and not just the work of Samuel Beckett, with which I was very involved at that time. Since Harry emerged as a poet in his own right a couple of years later, his enormous breadth and depth of knowledge of literature and history, to name only these, has never been far from the surface. A considerable proportion of his work takes the form of re-readings of pre-existent texts. So, for example, he has published an entire book of such oblique renderings of Chinese poetry of the Tang period, several of which formed the basis of my composition, I Blink, which I wrote in 2020, and which, strangely, is the first time I became engaged musically, so to speak, with Harry's poetry. This is by no means because I didn't feel an affinity with it, but because working in such a densely referential way isn't something I do myself, and I think one of my ideals when working with words is to imagine a situation in which somehow the words and the music both emerge from the same mysterious source. So it's taken a widening of my own creative horizons to have been able to bring this about with Harry's words. His first extensive collection was published in 2018, and it's entitled Rough Breathing. That's the name in English for the initial sound represented in ancient Greek by a mark like an apostrophe, and which is represented in English by the letter H, which of course is the author's initial. This will give you an idea of the self-reflective and seriously playful tone which often characterizes his work. The poem I'm going to read is called Thinking of Evan Walking on Chesil. Evan refers to the saxophonist Evan Parker, whose work both Harry and I admire very deeply, and Chesil refers to Chesil Beach in Dorset, on the south coast of England, a 29-kilometre-long bank of pebbles that stretches along a natural causeway between the mainland and the Portland Peninsula. This beach is very familiar to me through annual holidays during my childhood in nearby Weymouth, so the poem has personal resonances for me in both its directions. Thinking of Evan walking on Chesil. The turn, not linguistic and not philosophical, but akin to the swerve of a flight of plover off shingle. Black backs, in fact, as dun as the pebbles, but darkened in shadow. Just as their fronts are whitened by sun over the diamond sea, in angles and arcs, moving neither as one nor as the many, but in a stochastic wave pervasive through space. Stiff wing beats shape a loophole in air, cut through the hierarchy of language, a space where agility can melt into sunlight. Simon Howard studied English literature at University College London, which I mentioned because our times there overlapped. Though I was studying biological sciences, I was regularly involved with the student theatre group, so through that I got to know many people studying English, but not Simon, unfortunately. We got to know each other originally through an online forum run by the BBC for listeners to its Radio 3 music station, and found we had a great deal in common regarding music, literature, political thinking, and much else. Initially, I wasn't aware that he was writing poetry, but as we got to know one another better, I gradually came to realize that his writing was something I'd been searching for many years, without being completely conscious of this search. Something complex, surreal, and elusive, highly sophisticated, and at the same time emerging from what you might call a punk sensibility. Something similar in attitude to what I do myself, in other words. Something that has for me the quality of powerfully evoking possible sound forms and a compulsion to realize them. On the 1st of September 2013, I received a sequence of 16 poems from Simon, having suggested to him that we might collaborate on something. A few weeks earlier, he had written to me in these words, "Somehow, I felt that entitling the work was what you'd like to do. I'll let you have the full revised text next week, and from there, it's material for your composition. I have no control or sense of the words belonging to me." He actually ended up giving the sequence the title Addiction. Simon died suddenly in early December 2013, at the age of 53, and for various reasons, I didn't get around to starting work on the music until 3 years later, partly because I found that I needed to plan a large-scale work which is still in progress. The title I settled on was Natural Causes, and when it's finished it will be about 3 hours in duration. What was conceived as a collaboration has ended up as a memorial, not just for Simon, but for the awful randomness with which we all lose people close to us, the more so as we gain in years, of course. Simon's work often revolves around a number of obsessive themes: lost love and passing time, music, travelling, the atrocities of late capitalism. Its striking, disjointed and often bleak voice is at the same time highly personal and like a voice speaking or maybe even singing in one's own head. At least that's my experience of it, and not only mine, given that several other composers have also worked with Simon's poetry. I'm going to read a poem called Enlightenment, which is dated the 9th of November 2013, and which therefore is one of the last things he wrote. While he published only 4 small books during his lifetime, he also kept a sort of poetic diary in the form of a blog called Walking in the Ceiling, which is still online and consists of hundreds of texts in both verse and prose, each illustrated with an enigmatic image whose connection to the words may or may not be accessible to the reader. The image for the poem Enlightenment is a monochrome photo of a dark and foggy scene, dominated by the glare from the headlamps of a car that looks to be from the 1920s or 30s, driving past a park where street lamps, leafless trees, a bench, and a small indistinct building can be seen. A sentry's hut, or a public toilet, or a tomb, who knows? Enlightenment. The purpose of the machine was to demonstrate the purposelessness of the machine. We stand around, amazed, naked, finery swept from our backs by the tempest. Savagely, oh so savagely, rain falls on the disappeared house. None of us sleep, which is why we were dreaming when... The purpose of the machine is to demonstrate its non-existence. Only the sleeping, dreamless creatures that cry out in the night find its cogs and wheels and starting handles to be of a beauteous and straightforward utility. Gently, oh, so gently, rain falls on the disappearing house. Thank you.
you listen to Richard Barrett. This episode was released on the 17th January 2023. Vortex Temporum is a podcast by Limina and Arte no Tempo.